Today we continue our studies in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, this beautiful epistle written by Paul while he was imprisoned in Rome waiting trial, and a book that is one of the richest in the New Testament. We start reading with verse 11 of chapter 4. He gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. And I think we'll just stop with the reading there. It continues on, and we'll perhaps get further, but we'll just see how the time goes. I'm enjoying these studies. We're not trying to keep a particular schedule. We're not trying to see how many verses we can necessarily cover in the one broadcast, but we're very concerned to understand the scripture and to apply it and to see what the Lord would have to tell us today. We noticed that the Lord Jesus, as he went back to heaven, went back as a victor, triumphant. The cross was a victory, and it was his standard that he carried before in this triumphal procession, going back to heaven. As he went, he gave gifts, it says. And in this passage, these gifts are seen as men that are to be used by the Lord in their gifts to build up Christians, to build up churches. A great need today. And the section here that we're looking at is emphasizing maturity and unity in the church. This is the working of the Holy Spirit. It's so contrary to what we are by nature. Now let's notice what he says here about these men that he has given to help produce this in the church. Last week we talked about apostles and prophets. Today we're going to talk about the gifts of evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, the evangelist is the one who is particularly gifted in preaching the gospel and who has a particular burden for this. And some men just have this gift. I remember some years back, I used to preach at times with a man who was a gifted evangelist. He wasn't really a teacher at all. In fact, I heard him say, I can't teach. But he had a tremendous heart for the gospel. If he were in a meeting and there were Christians there, before very long, he would start preaching the gospel, concerned that perhaps there might be someone here that didn't know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And he would just preach the gospel with all his might. Evangelists, those with a great compassion and love for souls. All of us ought to be concerned for the lost. But there are certain ones who are uniquely gifted to proclaim the message of salvation. And these are given to the church, are a gift from the Lord himself. We need to pray the Lord will raise up evangelists. We need to pray that God will raise up men with a tremendous burden for the lost. And that we too, all of us as Christians, may have this concern. A church which is not concerned to see people being saved is not a church that is being motivated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit longs to see people come to the Lord Jesus. So the gift then of evangelists, much needed today. It speaks of those who are pastors or shepherds. And let me say that this is a gift. A person does not become a pastor or a shepherd simply by going to school. There are many men, for example, who go to seminary and who may go on and do even further graduate work who are not shepherds. They are not those with a real heart and with a gift to care for God's people. I have a friend, and he had several sons. One of his sons, when they lived on the farm, loved to keep sheep. And his brother was telling me not too long ago, now this boy is living in a town, but he said to me he still loves to take care of sheep. He loves to take care of the Lord's sheep. He loves to visit people. He's concerned for them. He goes to counsel with them. He loves to care for sheep. That's the heart of the shepherd. There are many men that have the title pastor on their door that are not shepherds at all. They may be executives, they may be administrators, but they don't have the heart of a shepherd. They don't have the concern for the flock. Now, I'm not saying they're not gifted in some other way, but there's no point in calling a man a pastor if he's not a shepherd. And in fact, in the New Testament days, they didn't carry any particular titles. The man just did the work. But this is a needed gift, the gift of shepherd. And God's people, more than ever, need men who will unselfishly care for the sheep of the Lord. He's the great shepherd. One day he's going to come back and he's going to take an accounting with his under-shepherds. And he's going to ask them, what have you been doing? How have you been caring for my sheep? He told Peter, you remember, he said, Peter, do you love me? And then he said to him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, care for them. Peter, I'm going away. They need someone who will love them and care for them as I have. He said, Peter, if you love me, care for my sheep. And let me suggest this to you. That's the motivation for all Christian service. If someone is a shepherd simply because of money, simply because it's a job, I do not think the Lord is pleased at all. Jesus said, if you love me, do you love me? Then if that's true, shepherd my flock. And if we love the Lord Jesus, if we have come to know and appreciate him, then we too will be concerned for his people, for his sheep, because he gave his life's blood that they might be saved. Shepherds, how much we need them today. And then he speaks of teachers as well. Those who are able to explain the Word of God. Those who are able to really teach the Word of God. So the people come away saying, you know, I understand that much better now. There were some things I didn't understand before, but he made it so plain. I understand now. I see now. We desperately need men who will stand up and proclaim and teach the Word of God with accuracy and with fervor and with a love for the Lord. We need Bible teachers today that really know the Word of God. Too often we hear messages, sermons, that are about current events or world problems or something like that. And we need to know what's going on in the world, but if you want to find that out, you shouldn't have to go to church. You ought to read Time Magazine or Newsweek or something else. If you're in the midst of God's people, you need to hear the Word. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we need the Word of God preached and proclaimed faithfully, week after week. We need teachers, those who know, who have studied, who have immersed themselves in God's word so they've just become a part of them, so that they can explain it, so that people go away fed and knowing more of the plans and purposes of God. Now these gifts, I might say this, these gifts are sometimes overlap. Paul could, for example, speak of himself as an apostle. He said he was a preacher. He spoke of himself as a teacher. He had several gifts. It may be that a man will have several gifts and one will be stronger than another. But these gifts are not exclusive. By this I mean although it's true at times a person will seem to have just only one, and at other times we'll see some who may be gifted in several areas and utilize those gifts for the blessing of God's people. Now, what's the purpose of these gifts? Is the purpose of these gifts simply to be hired, should I say, and to stand up in front and to preach and to shake hands with the people as they go out? What is the purpose of these gifts? And he says the purpose is for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. In other words, the gifts are not an end in themselves. The purpose of these gifts is that Christians can develop and grow and become the persons they should be. The figure that's used there for perfecting of the saints, and that word saint, of course, applies to all Christians. Don't just think of people that are dead or something like that, that have lived special lives. The word saint applies to any Christian, one who is set apart for God and belongs to Him. But this perfecting now is a word that sometimes is used for mending nets. Remember when Jesus called some of His apostles, they were sitting in their boats mending their nets. Their nets had gotten torn as they were fishing, maybe hung up on a snag, and here they were sitting mending them, reweaving them, sewing them, whatever they were doing. Mending their nets because their nets had been damaged. And when we think of Christians coming together, a group of Christians as a church, we think of people who need a lot of repairing. Here are lives that are damaged by sin. Here are lives that have been almost destroyed by sin in some cases. Lives that aren't very useful yet. Lives that are ignorant, lives that have wrong concepts, wrong habits. Oh, how many things are lacking in our lives when we come to know the Lord. And in fact, this is the reason many people accept the Lord. Their life is such a mess. It drives them in their extremity to God. And of course, this is what many times happens. People get saved who are going through difficult times, maybe through a divorce, maybe through a tremendous loss, maybe through some devastating habit that they can't seem to shake, an alcoholic or drugs or something like this, and they come to the end of themselves. They turn to the Lord. Now, that person is saved. The sins are forgiven. But he isn't immediately and automatically a perfect person or a useful person. And so these gifts now, as they function, are designed to see this person grow and develop and become more and more mature and useful to God. A mended whole person. Let's ask God to make us.